Welcome to the Coventry and Warwickshire Green Business Programme podcast. Subscribe now for more episodes. Hi, I'm Jonathan Howell, Business Energy Advisor at Coventry City Council, and welcome to the 17th edition of the Green Business Podcast. Now, recording this session on the 17th of April, and to date, we've had nearly 1,500 listens of our podcast so far. Now, as I always say, these podcasts are designed to help your business, so it's great to see the level of interaction we're achieving. So from myself and the team here, thank you for your ongoing support. Now, just to set the scene for today's session, our previous two podcasts gave you information on successful case studies in our area. Now, for those of you that haven't listened so far, that was Data Graphics in Rugby and Central Mailing Services in Birmingham. And those case studies illustrated the benefits that a robust sustainability and energy efficiency policy will bring your business. Now, today, we're going to have a little bit of a change of direction on that, and we're going to focus on what I'm going to call for today, champions of our business landscape. Now, these are people that work with and influence multiple stakeholders across our region, and essentially are a catalyst for positive change in the combined authority and Warwickshire areas. So therefore, I'm really pleased to introduce today's guest speaker to the session, Anna Bright from Sustainability West Midlands. Welcome, Anna.
Hi, Jonathan. It's lovely to be with you.
Thank you. Thanks for joining. So just to kick off then, just to sort of set the scene, first of all, this is one of those questions you get at the start of every team school you've ever sat on. Give us a bit of information, if you can, about Sustainability West Midlands and also your role within the organisation, please.
No problem. So let's start with Sustainability West Midlands, or SWM as we're known. So we're an independent not-for-profit organisation, and we've been going since 2002, so 22 years now. We're based in Birmingham, but we do work across the whole of the region, and that does include areas like Warwickshire, Shropshire, Herefordshire and so on. But we also work nationally as well. So we have got an overarching mission, and that is to help the West Midlands become more sustainable, greener and fairer for everybody. And to measure how we're progressing against that, we established a sustainability roadmap, which has targets for 2030. And we look at how the region's doing on a regular basis. And that's really, really useful insight. The way that we operate, we're a membership organisation, and we've got about 200 cross-sector members now. It does include the public and the third sector, but the biggest proportion of those members is the private sector, and within that, lots and lots of micro and small businesses. Alongside the membership, we also provide independent advice and consultancy. So we draw on the good practice from our members, and we use that and our own expertise to help shape that advice to businesses, councils, universities and so on. So that's SWM. A little bit about me. I'm chief exec at the organisation. I've been with the company for 11 years now. Prior to that, worked in the private sector, always within the West Midlands region, and I've got a background in waste and wastewater management.
Okay, so you are our perfect guest. So thank you for that that explanation. Just to give a bit of context again then to the podcast. Now, this session reaches a wide audience, and they've got various levels of different experience, basically. So just to give a bit of a context then, could you give our listeners a brief explanation of what net zero is and why people should care about it, first of all, please?
Yeah, so net zero, I mean, this is a relatively new term. And the reason that we have this term is that in June 2019, the UK government committed us to 100% reduction in greenhouse gas emissions by 2050. And that's compared with a 1990 baseline. And that's what's referred to as our net zero target. And that was done via an amendment to the Climate Change Act. So this is, it's a requirement of all of us. And we've all got a role to play in contributing to this target. Now, the reason why this is important is that greenhouse gas emissions like carbon dioxide and methane trap heat, and they contribute to something called global warming. And global warming affects our climate. The scientific evidence shows us that we're seeing wetter winters, we're seeing drier, hotter summers. We've all remember the heat waves of the last couple of years. So these are the type of impacts that are resulting from that global warming. Now, those gases that I mentioned, they are largely produced by human activities that involve burning fossil fuels. So things like producing energy, transport and industry. And again, that scientific research does confirm that the rapid rate of global warming that we're seeing is as a result of those human activities. So in our businesses and at home, we need to focus on reducing these emissions. By doing so, we can slow the pace of global warming and minimise the impacts of those changes to our weather. So that's the background. What is net zero and why is it important? But for businesses, what does that mean? Well, essentially, it means that they must try and reduce their emissions of carbon dioxide, methane, nitrous oxide and others. That's the main focus. We've got to get those emissions down. But what we will, in all likelihood, be left with is a residual amount of emissions, which we, you know, really hard, if not impossible, to minimise. And that's when we can look at something called offset. And there are an increasing number of reputable offsetting schemes within the UK, which I would recommend that we look at before we focus on schemes overseas.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you. So, yeah, I think offsetting, which we've spoken about in previous sessions, it's the last piece of the jigsaw, if I'm correct on that, to sort of do what you can't eliminate via your other sustainability plan, your efficiency drives, basically. And I think also, just to set the scene as well, we've all seen the weather the last few months. It's been pretty dire, hasn't it? So I think we can all look out of our own windows and see the impact that's in place now, and also what's coming down the line as well. So it's important to focus on this and get it right, basically. Okay, thank you. Good answer. So moving on to the actual bones then of the discussion. Back to businesses, as we said at the start of the session. Obviously, you and I both work extensively in the West Midlands and Warwickshire areas. Can you give me a bit of an overview of business landscape in those areas, please? Sort of regarding sustainability and energy, what's the landscape look like? What kind of industries have we got at play within those regions? Just expand on that a bit more, if you could, please, Anna.
Yeah, of course. So we've got, you know, some really big businesses in our region, but actually most of the businesses in our area are small and micro enterprises. And of course, yeah, they might be individually small, but collectively they make a huge impact on our economy, but also on our emissions of greenhouse gases. We've got different types of businesses in different areas. So we've got lots of manufacturers that have been around for a long time in the Black Country, for example. We've got creative and professional services in Birmingham. And of course, in Coventry and Warwickshire, we've got lots of construction companies and those focused on transportation. So there are slight differences in the priorities and the operations of those type of businesses. Having said that, I think most of our businesses are starting to appreciate that operating more sustainably, thinking about net zero, is important, and it brings business benefits, but it can be really, really difficult and confusing to know where to start. Now, often we'll have a business come to us and say, look, where do I go? You know, where do we start? What can we do? And there really is a huge amount of support available, and particularly at the moment, actually, through things like the Shared Prosperity Fund, legacy funding from the Commonwealth Games and so on. So there is free advice on energy consumption and reduction. There is free advice on waste management, circular economy, using your byproducts and so on. So tap into that advice first and foremost. Then, depending on the advice that, you know, businesses are given, there are grants available to help if there is investment required in things like lighting, renewables, different equipment and so on. So those grants are there to be used. In terms of education, most of our universities and lots of our colleges are delivering things like green skills boot camps now. So these are programmes that are aimed at businesses to help them understand the sustainability landscape, improve their carbon literacy, and often to go on and produce a sustainability roadmap. So another thing to tap into. Finally, the West Midlands Net Zero Business Pledge, been going for a while now, but this is an initiative that allows any business to go public in their commitment to this agenda, but really importantly, to get free support through the pledge and to make connections with businesses both inside and outside your sector. So loads of support available. And if in doubt, we would always say contact us or also Business Growth West Midlands, who will be aware of these initiatives and be able to signpost.
Fantastic, thank you. So I'm very wary of throwing statistics into these sessions because they, you know, they can be interpreted in various ways. But my understanding is that 99.4% of businesses are SMEs. Therefore, if we get that right, the scope for improving on a local, national, international scale is huge in terms of carbon reduction. And you've obviously done well in alluding to grants there in your answer, which is something that I can help with for any of our audience out there. That's my job. I will explain at the end of the session a bit more about the grants that I can provide to tie that together nicely. And it's really good to hear that there is so much support out there from universities, from yourself, Anna, in terms of helping our business community move forward on this, basically. So good answer. Thank you. Now I'm going to go a bit more to what I would call the more on-site bit. Now, those of you that don't know me that are listening, I'm an energy advisor. So I'm very often out in the field talking to businesses and I get to know what problems they have, what barriers are in place, basically. So Anna, what kind of common barriers do you sort of see businesses encountering when they're trying to embark on their net zero journey? So what sort of problems do they have and how are those challenges often overcome, please?
So often we'll have a business come to us and they'll say, look, we're not really doing much on sustainability. We know we need to. So what should we do? The first thing we'll do is say, OK, tell us about how you operate and tell us what you're doing. And I can almost guarantee that by doing that, we will identify that actually they are doing things that contribute to the sustainability agenda, whether it's recycling, whether it's thinking about their fleet or and so on, or whether it's things that they're doing within their community. So there will be pockets of really good practice already. So we want to work with them and build on that. But we will often help them address things like company culture. So for sustainability to be effective within an organisation, it's got to have buy-in across all levels. So that's from the factory floor all the way up to the boardroom. Everybody has got to have a clear idea of what's important and the priorities. And of course, you're only going to have that if you have got a clear vision, a strategy and a plan. Now, this doesn't have to be pages and pages of information, but it does have to be clear, accessible and understood by everybody. And that can be really straightforward to do. So once you've got that plan, I think it's really important to focus on measurement. And again, sometimes businesses will say, gosh, you know, scope 1, 2 and 3 emissions, it's really complicated and it can be difficult. But once you start looking at your bills, identifying other areas where measurement is required, you can start to identify where you can have the biggest impact and you can prioritise that. So absolutely measure, measure, measure.
Yes, I think as well on that, I've made some notes here that one of our previous webinars that we did was specifically a session on carbon accounting. And it was basically the buzzword was you can't change what you're not measuring, basically. So if anyone's interested, jump back on our website. That session was about an hour long and it was really, really interesting in terms of where to start measuring your carbon. Brilliant. But once you've got that in place, you can start to build these points on. And I like the point you made at the start as well, Anna, about people that are actually doing possibly more than they think. When I go out to do an energy audit, which is my main role, people assume that they're massively inefficient, but when I sometimes get on site, they've already done their lighting, they've got insulation in place, their processes are well defined. So very often people are actually more ahead of the curve than they think they are, basically. So that was an interesting point that you made there, basically.
Yeah, I think it's bringing it together, you know, and having a roadmap or a strategy is really important in that. And then just a couple of other points on the barriers. Obviously, cost, you know, that's fundamentally important. We've got to demonstrate the business case for any investment in, you know, renewable net zero technology. But advice is around, you know, to help with that, and grants are available. And then I think really it's trying to embed these changes to make them business as usual and just part of the way that the organisation operates. It has to be part of everybody's job. And, you know, it's got to be normality. So, yeah, again, loads of support available on this for anybody who needs it.
So just expanding on that point then, actually, just slightly, in your experience, is there a tipping point when a business of a certain size would need to employ a sustainability professional, like a sustainability manager, or can they do all this with outside assistance, or does it need to be a bit of both? Is there an ideal way of doing it, or does it not really matter?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't think there is a black and white tipping point as to the point that you need a sustainability manager, because you could be a small organization but have a very complex supply chain, for example. You know, so I don't think there is an easy answer there, but I think the key is having the clear vision on sustainability and the plan, the prioritised plan, because then if you've got a sustainability manager, that's what they'll be working to and helping others in the business to do so. If you haven't got a sustainability manager, it can still be part of everybody's role, your KPIs and so on. So I think that's your most important thing, and then you can decide who's best to support delivery of that.
Okay, thank you. Good answer. So, okay, so just pivoting it slightly then in terms of the conversation, we've talked about barriers and issues and things that companies need to overcome, basically. So let's flip that and talk about the good things. Let's talk about the opportunities, if that's okay, because obviously this needs to be a roadmap for companies to increase their profit, increase their market share, increase their turnover, and so on and so forth. So what are the main opportunities out there for a business that gets this right and can really put something in place? I mean, are there any emerging trends, for example, that they need to be sort of focusing on, or new markets? So what are the benefits if companies can do this right first time?
Yeah, so I mean, fundamentally, if you are looking at cutting your use of utilities, whether that's electricity, gas, water, you're going to cut costs on your bills. So it's going to go straight onto your bottom line. Yes, you may have to make some investment, but a lot of these technologies now have a much shorter payback, particularly if you can access grants. So cost, it can be a barrier, but there are ways around that. And in the long term, you are likely to make cost savings, which obviously is what we all want to see. Secondly, I think reputationally, it is increasingly important for businesses to be seen by their customers as focusing on the sustainability agenda and having a positive impact on the environment and on their communities. So communicating that clearly to all of your stakeholders is really, really important. Now, many businesses have to bid competitively for work in a, you know, procurement context, and there are requirements, certainly for larger businesses, around net zero plans, carbon planning in that procurement context. That will start to trickle down, and, you know, we bid for work ourselves, and increasingly we're seeing in those tenders a requirement to set out what you're doing environmentally, socially, and so on. So if you can talk to that genuinely and authentically about what you're doing, you're going to potentially have a competitive advantage in that tendering scenario. Of course, if you are a sustainable business, you know, you're probably going to be appealing as a place to work. So particularly for, you know, graduates and younger people who are very, very passionate about this agenda, it's a really good way of attracting talent. And I think, you know, if we're thinking about resilience and you're looking at energy, you're going to hopefully be more resilient to, you know, price increases on energy. If you've got renewables in place, you're not so reliant on that national grid. If you're thinking about extremes of weather that come with climate change and the impact that can have on your supply chain, you're going to be more resilient. So fundamentally, I think you're going to be a more efficient and resilient business.
Thank you very much. All of the things you've just mentioned, I have seen actually in the field when I'm talking to businesses. I've seen companies come to me looking for solar support in terms of grant funding that haven't really been too, they are bothered about the cost savings, but they need to present themselves as a greener business to win more business in their supply chain and tenders. So I've seen that scenario. I've also seen businesses that want to retain staff by being greener, especially with the current youth demographic are more interested in climate change and so on. And I think one of the key lines that I've used in previous sessions is, when I'm talking to businesses, if you're not doing this, I guarantee that your competitors will be. So you need to make sure it's done right, you've got the right involvement, and it's laid out correctly. So brilliant answer. Thank you very much for that. So just moving on to our next question then. Yourselves at Sustainability West Midlands, I see you operate the Innovative Zero Carbon Working Group, which I'm assuming is a collaboration network, which is key to the landscape in our area. Can you give us a bit more detail on that, please, and sort of show us how it operates and how people can engage with it, please?
Yeah, so you're absolutely right. It's a cross-sector network that aims to build and connect the innovative zero-carbon ecosystem in the region. So as you can imagine, we're focusing on low-carbon technology, energy, mobility, construction. And this is a really long-standing network. It's been going for over 10 years now. It's got about 200 members from the private, public and third sector. So it's a very active network. And what we've seen come out of that is some really interesting collaborations. So it meets quarterly. The next meeting's on the 24th of April. I'm not sure when the podcast goes out, but if anybody is keen to attend that, it's at the University of Birmingham and it's focused on the role of innovation in indoor and outdoor air quality. So we've got that coming up, but after that, we've got a whole series of events planned on things like heat networks, climate change adaptation, and all of this is on our website. So keep an eye on that. So yeah, alongside the events, we also send out regular updates to members of the networks, which includes details of funding, events, jobs and so on. So, yeah, free to join and hopefully very useful to everybody involved.
Good stuff. So if that is of interest to any companies out there, businesses, get involved. I will explain how to access Anna's details at the end of the podcast. So keep your eyes peeled and look out for that. So just moving on to my next question, in really this feeds back into case studies. We like our case studies here, as I said at the start of the podcast. So can you give us a couple of examples of success stories, best practices you've seen from companies in the combined authority area, and sort of what they've gained and sort of what their roadmap has been, if that's possible, please?
Yeah, I'm going to highlight one. And the reason I really like this one is because of the journey that you can see that this business has been on. So they're a manufacturer based in Coventry, been around a long time, and they already had sustainability on their agenda. They'd made the UN Global Compact, which is a global commitment to sustainability. But they've really started to ramp up their focus on this in the last 6 months. So they attended one of the skills boot camps that I mentioned. This is the Green Advantage course at Aston. They had a couple of people from their team attend. And at the end of that 12-week programme, they had produced a sustainability roadmap. They knew that that was the starting point, but they wanted to build on that. So they then went on to make the West Midlands Net Zero Business Pledge. So they're showing their commitment locally. And of course, they're tapping into the free support that any business can get through the pledge. They're then using all that increased knowledge and connections to start to really transform their business. And they're looking at everything from their high level strategy and the governance within the company through to stakeholder engagement, through a materiality assessment. They're looking at their product, how they design and develop and produce that. They're looking at waste and circular economy. And then wrapping around all that, they're looking at internal and external communication. And I think what is so lovely to see is how they've tapped into all of that support and connectivity in the region. And actually, you know, 6 months ago, they were already doing good stuff. But 6 months on, the way that this is embedded in the business and spoken about by the board and, you know, people working with it in the organization is absolutely transformational. So brilliant to see.
That's a great example. And I think I've got an idea for our next podcast. So thanks very much for that.
Yeah, I'm sure like they'd be happy.
Really good case study. Thank you very much. So just the bigger picture then, basically, and we're not going to talk politics on the session. It's not the time and the place for that. But I always ask this question of professionals like yourself. In terms of government policies, in terms of the net zero agenda on a national scale, what would you like to see? What would help, do you think, drive things further in our area at a local and national level in terms of some tweaks into the way things are done at government level, if that's possible?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, wouldn't it be lovely if there was a silver bullet to this? There isn't. But a couple of things that I would really like to see is more certainty. You know, we've all seen the impact where even slight shifts in policy can have an impact on business decision and just make businesses less confident in investing in renewables or electric vehicles. So I'd really like to see that long-term direction from policy and legislation that would give us all the confidence that, you know, this agenda is here to stay and we are doing the right thing by committing to it. So that's my first thing. The second thing I'd really like to see is integration of mitigation, so our efforts to bring down greenhouse gas emissions, and adaptation. As I said before, we know that we're locked into this changing climate and we need to approach these things hand in hand, because often the initiatives that we're focusing on for mitigation, whether it's tree planting, for example, investment in solar, they have benefits for adaptation as well. So if we can think about them together, we've got those co-benefits, and that is so important, so important if we're thinking about our resilience.
Yeah, no, that's a good answer. I think, and I'll add my little bit, what we need to look at when we're looking at the benefits that all these processes bring and all the involvement in being more sustainable and reducing our energy usage, we need to perhaps have the figures available which shows what would happen if we do nothing, because that is something that isn't sort of bookmarked very often by anybody really, in terms of this is what it's going to be like if we don't do a thing to sort of change things, basically. So that's my opinion, but it's a good answer. So thank you for that one. So you'd be pleased to know, Anna, we've made it to the last question. So hopefully this one will sort of look like I say, tie things together nicely at the end of the session. So what advice would you offer to businesses who are, maybe there's a company out there who hasn't got a clue where to start, they're confused by all the buzzwords that we're all aware of ourselves in our roles. Where would they need to start if they're looking to embark on their net zero journey, as it were?
So first of all, don't be daunted and think, gosh, this is too complex for me to even start to think about, because, you know, it really isn't. There's things that you'll be able to do immediately. So speak to Business Growth West Midlands, speak to Sustainability West Midlands, and we will be able to give you free advice on where to go. So first of all, get started. Once you've started on that journey, share. So join a network. There's lots available. Some of them are sector specific, some of them are cross sector, some of them are geographically, you know, specific. There will be one that suits you. So join that, because we can learn as much from our successes as we can our failures, and you will learn, you know, from other businesses, and that will help you on your own journey. And I think finally, just ask for help. You know, there is so much help around at the moment. Let's tap into that. Let's use it, and let's really start to transform our businesses.
Okay, fantastic. So don't be daunted and look for help. Fantastic. Thank you very much. Okay, that's the end of our conversation. I really enjoyed that conversation. I think we answered some really, really interesting key points there. And from me, I think I'd like to say to you, Anna, just keep fighting the good fight. I think you're doing a fantastic job. You're obviously well respected in our community as well. So for anybody that's listening, if you'd like to learn more about what Anna does and what Sustainability West Midlands do, all of the details for Anna's website and so on are in our podcast description. So you can access it via that. And just to finish off the podcast with an explanation about what I do and what our programme does, I work for the Decarbonisation Net Zero programme, and we help SME businesses in the Combined Authority and Warwickshire areas effectively reduce their energy use. So I can help you with a free energy audit, which will identify areas of energy efficiencies at your premises. I can then provide recommendations to get those costs down, and I'll give you the figures for cost saving and ongoing cost saving benefits for things like, it's not rocket science, LED lighting, solar, insulation, heat pumps, all of those things you can think about that will bring your energy use down. I can guide you on, and we can obviously help you with some grant funding. Now, in terms of the grant funding, we have a large pot of money at the moment, which is great, and we can contribute up to 50% towards the capital cost of those projects we identify. And we also have access to other services such as our Green Business Network, where you can, again, it's another network you can join to find out about events, get free advice and so on. And we also have a Green Business Directory where you can find suppliers which operate in the sustainability sector to do that work for you, basically. So again, for more details on that and how to register for our program, the link is in our podcast description. Lovely. So that's it for today. Thanks again to Anna for joining us, and thank you all for listening. Thank you.